sins. If they didn't believe on Christ, they were going to die in their sins. And yet we notice and we see that they refuse to listen. They just refuse to acknowledge their need of a Savior. I've said for many, many years, and it's not original to me, you've heard it perhaps as well, that in the context of salvation, and the hardest part is not getting people saved. The hardest part is getting them lost. We live in a culture that a lot of times people just think that they're good enough. They think that they've never done anything wrong. One of the joys and blessings this morning, this actually early afternoon, when service was over, and Tony approached me, when I took him in my office, I took him down to Romans Road. Just simply open the Bible, Romans 3:23, 6:23, Romans 5:8, Romans 10:9, and just kind of walked him through that and just shared with him. But here's what I do know: the Holy Spirit of God does a far greater job than we could ever imagine of preparing people for the gospel, preparing them for salvation. And that's, in my opinion, that's what we witnessed and I witnessed this morning. And it was a joy. It was really a blessing. And he told me, he said, "Preacher, I just like the way you say it." I'm like, "Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that encouragement." But we just pray that God will use us as a church to love on him and encourage him and disciple him. And that's what we're doing. To all the men in this room, when it comes to discipleship, you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to pour into Tony and love on him and encourage him and be intentional. I'll say, as your preacher, be intentional, especially with these newborn babes in Christ, men, when it comes to the men that get saved, be intentional. Go up. I mean, make it. And y'all are good at, all of us, and I really believe this, are good at welcoming people and all that, but be even more intentional. You know, if you think about it, anytime you walk into you ever gone somewhere and, somebody then brings a baby in? Man, everybody's focus and attention goes to that baby, don't they? I tell you, I love kids. I love little babies. And it's not uncommon for my wife and I to be out, and we'll be in a restaurant, and you'll look over, and you'll see a little baby. And, man, it just puts a smile on your face, unless they're screaming, right? Unless they're screaming, you're thinking, "I can't believe you're going to be those parents." No, I'm just kidding. And we've raised a bunch, so it doesn't bother us. And a lot of times, I mean, it happened at Texas, or it happened at Famous Dave's the other day. It's not uncommon for us to look up and say, "Man, you have a beautiful family, just a beautiful baby. How old is your baby?" And, it's amazing how God, and I say all that for this reason. You know, the Lord says, so here we are, we see babies, and it just brightens our day, and it's just something about it. I'm telling you, there's just something about life. There's just something about new life that just really is causes joy. And now in the context of a person getting saved, the Lord says that when a person gets born again, they are now a babe in Christ. They're a baby in Christ. And we as a church, man, what a joy, what a blessing to think that God would entrust us with these babies to be able to hopefully nurture them through the Word of God and love them and build friendships with them and let them know you're praying for them and you just encourage them. And we've seen the Lord, save quite a few people. And, man, let's just stay intentional in the context of really trying to encourage them and just say hi to them. If you don't see them, maybe you haven't seen them in a week or two, go up and say, "Hey, just want to let you know, I've been thinking about you, praying for you, missed you." Don't preach at them. We don't want that. But just really be a safe place for them to land, if you will. Because this is all new to them. They don't know all the church language. They don't know, thank the Lord, they don't know all the, the ins and outs. They don't know all the church songs, so having said that, we thank God that the Lord still saves. I'm telling you, what a joy. What an awesome, awesome joy it is to see when the Lord saves people. So John chapter 8, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. We'll start in verse 30, and we'll read on down through verse 36. He spake these words, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," when he says verily, he's talking about truly, truly, right? Verily, verily is what he's saying. He's really emphasizing this. "I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Look at verse 37. I know, he says, that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the work of Abraham. The works of Abraham. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We pray that you'd help us to love you more. And we thank you, God, for your glorious word. What a tremendous privilege it is to be able to preach it, to be able to study it, to be able to read it. And God, we praise you tonight and we honor you tonight. And we ask, dear God, that you'll use this service as only you can to accomplish its purpose. For it's in Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning we talked about our need for freedom. We talked about, that was our first point. And we, in the context, the Lord Jesus Christ said, free indeed. What does it mean? What does it mean to be free? What is it, you know, in the context of this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ, on many instances in chapter 8, as we've read this morning, and you can read later when you go home perhaps and kind of read through this, Jesus is really driving home a powerful truth that we're lost. We need Christ. We're going to die in our sins if we don't believe in Jesus. And as a result of that, we don't want, listen, we wouldn't want anybody. Honestly, we shouldn't want anyone to die and go to hell. Wyatt, look up here, bud. We shouldn't want anybody. Let me give you a powerful, one of the most powerful illustrations of forgiveness I've ever come across in my life. It happened to me yesterday. I think it was yesterday morning. Back in the fall, after, you know, I'd reached out to Prosecutor Attorney Bottoms, and I mentioned to him that was looking at possibly to do a golf fundraiser for the children, for the two children of Angela and Michael, you know, who were murdered. And I said, but I'd really, you know, can you let me know if it would be okay, you know, with the grandparents? So he gave me the grandparents' numbers, both sides, Angela's mom and then also Michael's mother. So after the show on Wednesday night when it aired, I reached out to him on Thursday, just left voicemails. I said, I just want you to know, and let me back it up real quick. You know, with the golf outing, it didn't work out. We had KJ, who had gotten really, really sick, so we were going to do one for him, you know, as one of our church family. And then now because KJ passed, we're now going to do one for a young boy who really could use it. He's had 11 surgeries so far. So we're going to be doing it for Hunter. And so long story short, as far as the golf outing, that'll be September 15th. So I reached out and I left voicemails on both phones. And I said, hey, I just want to know. So this is Pastor Tracy Harold. And, you know, y'all know me, you know, tied with the case and stuff. And I said, I just want you to know. I said, I'm praying for you, our church. I said, and I haven't told you about our church. I said, our church prays for y'all often. If there's ever anything in the world, you know, I could do, please call me. Please let me know. I think it was yesterday morning or the day before in the afternoon, Friday afternoon, I got a call. And it actually ended up being Angela's mom, Angela Hawkinsmith, who was murdered. It was her mom. And we talked for a long time. And she was, as you can imagine, I mean, she was pretty tore up still, especially with the show. And, you know, the show I thought was told pretty well. And, you know, there was a lot of things that they purposely, you know, didn't tell it exactly how it happened. I'm glad they did not do that, you know, just from the perspective of a lot of different thoughts on that. But we talked for a long time. And she said to me, and this is so powerful. Now, this is a mom, right, whose daughter was murdered. Right? And she said to me, she goes, Pastor Harold, she says, I'm just going to tell you. She said, I've forgiven him. She goes, I've forgiven him. And then she said this, and I'll never forget this. She goes, Pastor Harold, she said, my prayer, this is from a mother whose daughter was viciously murdered. She goes, Pastor Harold, my prayer is that Alan will get saved before he dies, that he'll get born again. She said, we shouldn't want anyone to die and go to hell. She said, that was not God's intention for man to die and go to hell. And we almost said it simultaneously. I said, yeah, hell was prepared, and we both said at the same time, for the devil and his angels. And I thought to myself, wow, that's what forgiveness looks like. And I'll be honest, I mean, it was a very powerful, it was a powerful moment in my life. You know, because here was a mother who loved her daughter, loved her with all her heart. And she even said to me, she said, I miss Angie. She goes, I miss being able to talk to her. I miss being able to text with her. Every day we talked. And I thought, man, wow, that's forgiveness. And I do. I mean, I pray if Alan's not saved that he will get saved. Anyway, that's another sermon. You say, preacher, do you think he is saved? I'm not trying to play Holy Spirit, but I personally don't think he is. Because of the habitual nature of his sin. I mean, his whole life being a lie since he was a minimum 19 years old, Bonnie, when he was in the military and created that lie that he was a Green Beret and all that. And you say, Pastor, what's your point of all that? The Lord Jesus Christ makes a statement here. And of course, in talking with the family members and stuff, I put a post on Facebook, and I said, here's the thing. I said to all my friends and all my family, I said, please don't judge Christianity by this man. I said, there's hypocrites. There are phonies in every walks of life. I said, most Christian people that I know are good people. They're sweet people. They have a sweet spirit. They're very very forgiving. And as far as I kind of expound on that a little more, but in the context of this passage, the Lord Jesus Christ is really driving home a point that if we know Christ as our Savior, we will want to follow Him. We will want to be obedient. We will want to understand that in the context of the Lord coming to, as we'll see in a moment, Jesus came to liberate us. He came to born us again. He came to change our life, and not just change our life. He came to radically change our life. He came to literally birth you from death unto life, as we'll see in just a moment. So in the context we looked at this morning, we saw, first of all, our need for freedom. Our need for freedom. Why? Because of the bondage of sin. Man is lost, and they're on the way to hell. They will die and go to hell without repentance and trust in Jesus Christ. We saw the blindness of sin in verse 32 and how that the Lord told him there. He says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So what he's indicating there is, for those that do not have the truth, for those that do not have Christ as their Savior, that they're not free. They're in bondage. They don't even realize it. We often don't even realize the bondage and the shackles that happens to a person that doesn't know Jesus. Stephen Curtis Chapman years ago wrote a song, and it's called Remember Your Chains. It's a great song. And it was birthed out of, he was on an airplane, and he was flying somewhere, and he said he saw I don't know if they were sheriff's deputies or what they were, but they were escorting a prisoner. And he watched as they escorted this prisoner, and when they brought him on, as you can imagine, they brought him on the plane. He was shackled. He had handcuffs. He had shackles on his hands and his feet, you know, no doubt around his waist. And he was basically in bonds, right? And Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote the song, and he said, I surely must have wondered what he was thinking as he sat there, you know, sat and looked out the window to the sky. Seems like he was taking his last look at freedom from the hopeless, longing look in his eye. And he goes on, he talks about there was chains on his hands and chains on his feet. And then he says that it then appeared to him as a believer in Jesus. He said, you know, it's important for us to remember our chains. Remember the prisoner. Remember the prison that once held us before the love of God broke through. And ladies and gentlemen, that is absolutely a true thought. But before we knew Christ as our Savior, we were in bondage. We were absolutely in bondage to sin. We were blind to sin. We were on our way to hell. And listen, friend, we were on our way to hell, yes, but we deserved every minute of that. And yet Jesus Christ in His love and His grace and His mercy, He broke through. He broke through the darkness. He broke through the darkness with His marvelous light. And He showed us our need of a Savior. And for many of us, even in this room and perhaps watching the internet, you repented and you trusted Christ and Christ alone. One of the things that Tony said today was awesome. Man, I wish you guys could have been in there. It was so cool. He said to me, he said, preacher, I've been hearing, you know, with preaching service and stuff, and just to hear what Jesus Christ did, he said, it's unbelievable. He said, I watched, and then he also, I don't know when he did it, but he watched the movie, The Passion of the Christ, and he goes, and I watched how, you know, that they beat Jesus in the one scene, and he said, I'm thinking to myself, you know, just stop. And I said to him, I said, Tony, I said, yes, there were the soldiers that physically did the beating and physically did the nails in his hands and hanging on the cross. I said, but Tony, I said, here's what we've got to understand. I said, you and I put him on that cross. I said, you and I, it was our sins that put Jesus on that cross. And you could tell, man, there was a connection. You could tell that the Lord had been working on him. And it was just so powerful to watch God work in that situation. We see our need for freedom. Second of all, notice the purpose of freedom. Well, what is God's intention? What is the Lord, what is his intention in the context of bringing salvation into our life? Let me give you a couple thoughts, and I want you to chew on this, and I hope that it'll help you understand a little bit more. First and foremost, the purpose is to bring life. You see, the Bible says in Ephesians that we're dead in trespasses and sins. We don't have Christ. We're literally walking, you know, dead man walking, right? Before we're saved. We're dead people. We're dead men and women walking. If we die, we would split hell wide open, lost in our sins. So Jesus Christ, he came to bring life into our lives. Matter of fact, he said one time, I come to give you life, but not just life, life more abundantly. Now here's what we know about life. Life is full of ups and downs. Life is full of mountaintop experiences and valley experiences, but life indeed is that. But what a joy it is to know that once a person has Jesus as their Savior, you have a Savior that is on the mountain with you, but you also have a Savior that's in your valley. Can I get a witness in this room? You have a Savior that's going to be with you in your trials. You have a Savior that's going to be with you in your tough times. You have a Savior that's going to go with you every step of the journey. And you have a Savior, friend, on the authority of Scripture. You have a Savior that absolutely guides your steps. What an amazing God he is. And I'm telling you, when every now and then it's good, we all get busy. My goodness, life is busy. And it's okay. I would much rather be busy than not busy. But you know, every now and then, it's good just to kind of take a step back and try our best to really look for the hands of God in different situations, or look for the fingerprints of God in a lot of the different situations. And I'm telling you before my Lord, he is a remarkable God. He is a remarkable Savior. He will, listen to this, he will never waste a trial that he brings into our life. I'm telling you, on the authority of Scripture, the trials that you go through, God will use them for his glory. Amen. He will use them for his glory. He will not allow his children to go through trials and tribulations without God doing something with them. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing God do that now. It's remarkable. It's absolutely incredible what God is doing. My phone has been blowing up. I mean, with people that the Lord's allowed me to meet, people that are in positions, people that are, in the police departments. And it's just unbelievable what God is doing through a tragedy, through a horrible time in a lot of people's lives and through a very difficult time in our lives. Put on Facebook, and I've been mentioning Facebook a lot, but it's a great social platform. You got to eat the fish, throw the bones away. One of the worst things you can do is get on there and become a political expert because you don't want to do that. But I try to make it fun and, you know, different things. But I made a statement the other day in the context of just life in general. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, you'll hear people say, and I've heard people say this, I've heard dear people, friends, preachers, I've heard people make the statement that God will never put on you more than you can handle. The only problem with that is absolutely unbiblical. It's unbiblical. The Lord Jesus nowhere in Scripture said, I'm only going to give you what you can handle. Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, friend, he will not only allow you to get to the end of yourself, he'll take it even further. Now, why is that? So that we will not be dependent on ourselves, we'll be dependent on him. And allow him to work and watch him work and just really absolutely be still and really know that he's God. Because, friend, And I said, and I put in there, I said, his strength, according to Scripture, on the apostle, like the Apostle Paul's testimony, was this. His strength, man, this is a good word. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Man, we are weak people. Weak people. And that's not an insult. I'm not talking about your physical appearance. Joe Hall, we're weak people. We're weak people. We can't take another breath. We can't. There's no way possible in and of ourselves. God didn't create us to be 100% totally independent of him. You know, and it's something also we got to keep in mind, and that goes right along with today's theme. You know, when those that left the motherland to come to America, they were pledging their independence, right, of the motherland. Independence from there, from the tyranny of the king. But they were also, in pledging their independence, they were pledging their dependence on Jehovah God. And I'm telling you, study history, you'll find that. You study history, you study the history of our nation, not the history revisionist story of it, but you study real history, and you'll see that. And as a believer in Jesus, when the Lord Jesus Christ saves us, we become free indeed, but it doesn't mean that we have pledged that we now are free away from Jesus. It means that we are free because we are in Jesus. And that's a good word. That's a good statement. So we see this purpose of freedom is, first of all, to bring life. Jesus said it in verse 32. He says it again in verse 37 or verse 36. Verse 32, he says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What has he been telling them? What has he been saying to them? If you don't believe in me, you're going to die in your sins. You're going to die in your sins. They're Pharisees. In their eyes, they're not sinners. In their eyes, they're better than everybody. In their eyes, because they no doubt would do a horizontal comparison. In their eyes, they're like, well, you can illustrate it with the story in the New Testament when the Pharisee and the sinner basically walks into the temple and they're praying, right? And then one beats on his chest and, "God be merciful unto me, a sinner." Whereas the Pharisee prays and said, "Lord, you know, I do this and I give my money, I fast, I do this, I do that. And oh God, and I'm so grateful, I'm not like that guy." But we know the one went away justified, and it wasn't the Pharisee. It wasn't the Pharisee. It wasn't the religious person. Because see, friend, that religious man, he had, and like I told Tony today, when we're trusting in Christ, that means that we are trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone to be our Savior. We're trusting in him and him alone to go to heaven when we die. We're not trusting in ourselves. We're not trusting in our good works. We're not trusting in anything but Jesus. And sweet friend, that's what's so important. It's so vital to understand that the purpose of God bringing freedom into our life was to know, for letter A, it was to bring life. But second of all, it was to bring liberation. Jesus said in verse 32 again, "You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Carries with it the idea of, yes, bringing life, but also bringing liberation. Verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." If the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. The phrase "free indeed" literally means really free. Really free. Remember your chains. Remember the prison that once held you. Before the love of God broke through. Remember the place you were without grace. And to see where you are now. Remember your chains are gone. They're gone. He set you free. He heard the cry of a 16-year-old kid. He forgave me of all my sins. Am I perfect? I am in his eyes, positionally, practically. No, I'm not perfect. I sin all the time. I sin, honestly, I do, and I'm not proud of that. Whether it's in thought, whether it's in deed, it's a struggle, it's a daily grind. And it really comes down to who you're going to feed the most. Are you going to feed the old life? Or are you going to feed the new man? And yes, you go through times when you're in trials and tribulations that sometimes you find yourself walking through depressing times. And I'm just going to tell you on the authority of Scripture, some of the greatest heroes of the faith walk through depression. Study your Bible. It had nothing to do that they were weak. It had nothing to do with them not having enough faith. Are you kidding me? Sometimes we get knocked straight off our feet, son. Sometimes we get punched in the stomach and we can't hardly take a breath. And it's in times like that we better look to the hills from which cometh our help. We better look to Jesus. We better reach out and reach out to a friend and somebody that loves us. I spoke with one of our members yesterday who stopped by at a yard sale, and he's battling depression bad. It doesn't come a whole lot. And here we are, two big guys, sweating like a stuck hog, right? And I hugged him. I said, "But I miss you." I said, "We miss you, church." He said, "Preacher, I miss being there." And he's going through depression. I love him with all my heart. I had the privilege of leading him to Christ right here at this altar. I said, "Preacher, who is that?" I'll just say it by way of an unspoken. Pray for him. "Well, he should be here. Listen, you ever walk through those storms? You ever walk through those dark waters?" And by the way, I'm grateful that the Lord promises to be with us. And for those that may think, "Well, preacher, he just needs to pull himself up by the bootstraps." Well, it's easy to say when you've never walked through it. It's easy to say when you've never walked through it. It's easy to point a finger. It's easy to know, but to bring life, to bring liberation. The Bible tells us in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free." And by the way, that's a good statement there. It's Jesus that makes us free. It's God that makes us free. We're not free in ourselves. We're not free in ourselves. We're not free. There's nothing that we could do that can make us free other than repenting and believing in Jesus Christ the Lord. Man. The Lord goes on and he says, and by the way, that's the purpose, but notice the person where freedom is found. The person where freedom is found. Verse 36 again. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free." Freedom is found in Jesus. That's where it's found. It's found in Christ and Christ alone. I had a friend of mine who's known me for many, many years. And he's actually preaching this pulpit, Todd Marks. Remember, y'all know Todd Marks? He's a missionary. He's actually been a missionary for quite a while now in Peru. And of course, you know, a lot of friends and family have reached out, you know, over the little bit and with everything that's gone on. And he's known me since, oh my goodness, he's known me 25 years, if not longer. And he wrote to encourage me. Let me see if I can find it. He wrote to encourage me, and this is what he said. Now, years ago, my favorite singer in the world was Michael English. I was absolutely compulsive. I had OCD, man, when it came to anything Michael English sang. I'd listen to him. You guys remember those years. I would listen to him, and I'd stop. Honestly, Pat, I'd listen to him sing, and I'm like, "Oh, man, I like how he sang that." So I would stop the tape recorder, teenagers, you don't know what that is, but I would stop that tape recorder, and I'd write the word out, and I'd try to write it out phonetically. And I mean, it's ridiculous. Break it down by syllable. I mean, I was absolutely compulsive about that. So I used to love singing Michael English songs. I was cool back then. I used to have big glasses, big thick glasses, right? They look like I was the greatest showman. Where'd he go? I was with my clown glasses. I used to wear those. I was cool. I had used to wear a red bandana around my head. I was cool. So Todd Marks, the little nerd that he is, he texts me. Yeah, he messaged me yesterday morning. And he says, he said, hey, I'm headed to Michigan for a couple weeks. He said, you want to grab a coffee or something while I'm up there? Let me know. And he says, but for now, he goes, put on the big black glasses, the red bandana, shoot some hoops, sing a Mike English song, and remember, God is in control and has a purpose or a plan in all things. Don't be discouraged. Of course, I laugh because, that's when Leslie fell in love with me in those days. But you know what? I'm grateful for friends. I'm grateful for friends that speak encouragement into my life. I'm grateful for friends that will step in and walk through sometimes the pain. And I'm telling you, church family, God, God is birthing some amazing things right now in our lives and in my life and in my family's life and just in the life of our church. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ is doing some incredible, incredible things. And I really believe we're just on the edge of God getting ready to take us over, man, in a great, great way, and reaching our neighbors and here, the neighbor on the corner, the neighbor over here. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, Pastor, yeah, but listen, God didn't set you free for you to live like you're in bondage. God didn't set you free for you to live like, you're a slave to sin. The Lord sets you free. And because he sets you free, there's a lot of people. Remember tonight, there are a lot of people that are where you used to be, as Stephen Curtis Chapman says. Can you picture that prisoner in his shackles, in his chains, his handcuffs? And Stephen Curtis Chapman penning those words. You remember your chains? You see, one of the bad things that can happen, the further we are away from our salvation, the further we get away from remembering what we used to be and remembering where we used to be when God found us and saved us and changed our life. Friend, he did a miracle in your life. He did a miracle. I'm telling you, if you're born again, he did a miracle. Maybe here tonight you do not know Christ. Watching the internet, you do not know Jesus. Sweet friend, please ask God to forgive you of your sin. And believe in your heart that Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day. He'll save you. He'll change your life if you'll give your life to him. Maybe you're here tonight and say, Pastor, I'll be honest. I know Christ is my Savior. But if I'm just being truthful, I walk around a lot of times like I'm still in bondage. I walk around a lot of times like I still have chains on. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ has made you free. You're free indeed. And not only are you free, you are really, you're really free. And sweet friend, I hope to encourage you tonight to walk in that freedom, to live in that freedom. We're free as Americans, and we have the joy and the privilege to walk in that freedom. What a joy. What an honor. What a great blessing it is. I still get pretty choked up a lot of times when I hear the Star Spangled Banner played and I see soldiers in uniform and see people saluting the flag. I still do, and I'm grateful of being American. But ladies and gentlemen, also, I'm so thankful and grateful that I'm a born-again believer in Jesus. Stand with me, please, for him invitation. Brother Ryan's going to come. Pianist and organist are coming. Tonight, if the Lord's touched your heart, you need to respond. We give you an opportunity. Maybe you need to respond for salvation. But also maybe you just like to respond because you're not walking free right now. You're not living like you're free. You're just kind of living in a graveyard still, How foolish that would be for Lazarus to be resurrected from the graveyard and then years later just go back and live in the graveyard. That'd be foolish for him to do that. It's foolish for us as well to do that. Maybe tonight you just like to come and just pray and ask God to help you here at this altar. He will. He knows what's going on. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows the struggles. He knows your pain. He knows your trials. He knows the battle, the emotional battle. He knows it all. He created you. He can empathize with you. I promise you can. He'll help you. You come as we sing. What's up, Brother Ryan? 436. You come as we sing.